Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're speaking about backyard ultras in the company of the British record holder, Sarah Perry.
She knows how to do it.
That's it. That's running round and round loops. About sort of infinitely, really.
And I learned, as you'll hear in the podcast, I thought the loop could just be like a loop, and you just did it. But it's a very specific distance.
Oh, it's very set, Ben. Look,
you got any backyard ultra stats for me?
Let me help you. Let me out here. Backyard ultra is a last one standing format, and it sees competitors running a distance of 6.706 kilometres or 4.167 miles in less than 1 hour. And why, you might ask? Well, actually, it's because it's a pace of 100 miles per 24 hours.
So that distance and that time frame of an hour dictates 100 miles
in 24 hours.
24 hours.
So you can't completely dawdle. Is that because obviously running 100 miles in 24 hours requires quite a bit of running. It's not
as a man who's done it.
I've done it once, and so you can't just speed walk it, or you know, it's not quite possible to do that unless you're a great speed walker, of course. So you have to maintain a reasonable pace to do these things, and it's grown exponentially, really. There's quite a few in the UK now.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. I think it's really interesting, and Sarah gets into like the potential of it as a format for testing your parameters in an environment that is better than race, than a point-to-point race.
Yes.
And like how factoring them, maybe you're doing all these events in training up to a longer event, but it's actually, this is kind of like a better pace management system, like you're learning all these skills that you don't get so much from. I think it's really, really interesting.
Yeah, you are, because I think you can think about these backyard ultras because it was a brainchild of Gary Cantrell, you know, Lazarus Lake, who's behind the Barclays.
Yeah.
You can think, okay, so this is only for the extreme in the way that race is. Do you mean it's like the absolutely hardest of the hardcore do the backyard ultra, but actually, because there's no lower limit, Ben. You go around and do it. We go turn up and do a lap.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually quite nice, I think. You're right. It's not just about absolute badass runners all running 200 miles plus with no sleep.
Yeah.
You know, run 20 miles.
Sarah says this, but like if you've done a marathon and you want to try and get to 50K further, like I feel that's a good environment to try and do it. Like it's a sort of just, well, I know I can do a marathon, I've just got to do lapping a bit more.
A little bit further.
A little bit more. Would you ever do it?
I'll be honest, I've never looked at it. It's never been something that's really caught my imagination. I thought, oh, wow, that's a bit of fun. I can see the appeal of people doing that.
Mm.
But any race for me that is like really repetitious, I definitely count 24-hour track races in that category. Part of me is like the adventure of running, the sense of a journey is a little bit, becomes a bit null and void, and that puts me off it. But never say never.
Never say never. I'm sort of in two minds.
You sound quite positive.
Well, I think for you I was the same. Like, I like the adventure of running.
Yeah.
But I think it's a real like you versus a challenge.
Sure. Yeah,
there's a real draw to it because it's kind of it's unequivocally dead, like a race that is devoted to just going as far as you can.
Yeah,
like, and I think that's you don't get that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's quite different, and also like there's a kind of psychology at play, isn't there?
I think I think that's the appeal. I think that's like how
can you
good
poker
am
face
I?
How poker face it?
Yeah, like, how good am I at this? Whereas, you know, you get to the end of a race, you've done the distance, you're essentially that good.
Yeah.
You've done a good 50 miles. Well done, you.
Sure.
Whereas, can I go further? I don't want to go further. I can go further. Yeah, like that. That's slightly sort appealing. Of type, what is it, type 2 fun or whatever.
Type 3. Even not enjoyable in retrospect. So the longest distance recorded on one of these events is by a US runner called Harvey Lewis. And he was last year at Big's Backyard Ultra, which is kind of like...
That's the one.
That's the mecca of these things. Mm-hmm. And he ran, and this is barely believable, I think. Obviously, it is. I'm not suggesting it's not true. Cause it is,
it's absolutely called him out. No,
it is true. Everyone was there. It's, bona fide. 450 miles.
That's crazy.
And Jen, our colleague, spoke to him on the phone, and... I think he was sleeping for about 2 minutes at the end of these laps. And he said actually felt like he could have gone on for a bit longer. But once you've won, it's a special type of runner who keeps going, which you could do, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you could do.
Yeah, because if you're out there to win the event and you do that, so like with the point to point, again, you're out to win a race, you cross the line first, you're done,
yeah,
right? But on these things, you cross the line, you're crossing the finish line, as in everyone else has given up first. You can still go as far as you want.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever done it. If anyone knows more about the rules of backyard ultras than you and I and wants to write
which
in...
Which is basically anyone.
A lot of people. Podcast at runnerswell.co.uk. But my understanding... I mean, obviously, you're completely exhausted by that point, so maybe there's...
Maybe but full of... You've just won, mate.
At least a victory lap.
Come on. most definitive victory lap of all time.
Yeah. But, they are growing. I think we're going to do a piece in the magazine on them because they're propping up... all over the place.
The fact that you only need this very specific, but it's just a loop somewhere to do makes race organising, I assume, actually really...
pretty easy.
Easy. You've got some logistics to take care of and you need some area for, admin, as Sarah got. General use of the word admin for anything that involves, sleeping or eating or getting changed. But, apart from that, it's not like,
I've got to close the roads of central London.
Or just even like with your North Downs Way one, you've got to put up, you've got to have at some point, there's the aid stations going up, there's the water points, there's the nutrition stops, da, 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 whereas, they're in a loop.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
They're back at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon it must be, because you can even get this with a long run, if you sit down or something, doing and then you start again, the first few steps are the hardest, aren't they? You feel like you're never going to run again. That must be like that times 10, I reckon, when you're 40 laps in, the first bit must be...
I struggle with, the next day running. If I've run, consecutive days these days gets to me. So I'm not sure how consecutive laps with a little rest.
Yeah, the psychology and the strategy of it is interesting. Someone will write a great book one day on the Backyard Ultra, but not yet.
Or us.
Yeah, probably not us. No. Find out a bit more about it first.
Maybe Sarah will.
Yeah, hey. Hey, well, let's bring on our guest of the week, Sarah Perry, British record holder of the Backyard Ultra. Guest of the week, here in the studio, guest of the week, sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown. Okay, our guest this week is a serial winner of Backyard Ultras. Earlier this year, she set a new British female record at the Russell Buck running event, completing 41 laps in the allotted 41 hours, totaling a whopping 170 miles.
Oh, blimey.
So, Sarah Perry, welcome to the Runners World podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and your sort of running history?
Yeah, I've always done a little bit of running and maybe not always for the right reasons. And then I'd say my mid sort of 20s, I found that it helped me find a balance. Started running for the effect that it had on my mental health. Just kept with it really. And then maybe 5 years ago, I found ultra running and just been hooked since. It's been a downward spiral since then, really.
I mean, I'm just interested in that leap from ultra running into this small little pocket of ultra running, which is really like... the testing ground for, I reckon, some of the most extreme endurance stuff. How did you go from, 50, 100 miles or whatever to being like, I'm just gonna do these loops continually until I've reached a maximum distance?
I think for me, ultra running, I've never been speedy. So I've always been interested in pushing my limits in different ways. And initially that was like going further. You know, you do your first 100, oh, I'll try, you know, 150 now, 200. Then I caught wind of the backyard ultra format and I just thought, yeah, that'll test me. That might be something that I like to have a go at. Yeah.
How on earth do you train for something like the backyard ultra? So presumably you're not just running loops and loops of like a field. Like, how do you get ready for something like this?
I've heard of people that are really serious about training specifically for backyard, and they will like train as if they're doing a backyard, but not for me. And what I find is that people who generally do like the longer ultras, they seem to be really good at backyards. And I think that's probably just having the confidence in knowing that they can run far. But also I think the other side of the backyard is like the admin side of things and being able to look after yourself and, yeah, keep on top of the admin.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like one of the real interesting elements of this kind of racing. It's not just the time on feet running. It's the management of everything else in between. Is there training for that? Or do you just sort of work out a natural strategy around eating and resting and what works for you versus everyone else? Is that sort of a huge part of being successful?
Yeah, I think so. I think like the backyard format is so unique. There is things that I've learned from like my longer distance racing that I've applied to backyards, but really, yeah, I think the backyard is the only thing that can prepare you for the backyard. And I think if someone was wanting to get really good at it, I would say do them, start, set a distance, and then see how that goes. And then, you know, you take things on from that with you to the next race. And like for me, I like to keep it quite consistent with my lap. So I like about 10 minutes to do all my admin. I find that that's enough time to do everything that you'd need to do. Whereas some people kind of like a bit less time, so they don't like their legs to get stiff, that sort of thing. Everybody has their own little strategy that works for them. And yeah, it's super interesting seeing what other people do as well.
How much were you sleeping? Were you trying to get down for like 5 minutes per lap late on, or how did it work?
No, so I didn't sleep. I've never run far enough in a backyard to need to sleep.
Oh, right.
I honestly think that you can manage like 3-4 days without sleeping. You know, the guys that have got like the record. I mean, I wonder if, I don't know if you know, but I don't know if they were sleeping. Maybe, you know, close your eyes for a couple of minutes, but.
Yeah, that's it. I chatted to the it's Harvey, isn't it? Harvey, somebody who set the record, and he said he got into a pattern where he was sleeping for 2 minutes a lap, and that was fine. That was working for him. He felt like he could have actually gone on longer than he did. So yeah, it's remarkable. Do you remember what your first one was like? Did you make any errors or stuff that you learned from the first time doing it?
I think the first one, I went with high hopes. I packed for 2 nights. And we went down to Wales, thought this would be a great thing to do with the bank holiday. And then it stopped at 80 miles, something around 80 miles. And I remember just thinking, oh, come all this way for 80 miles. But that's the fun of the backyard, I think. That's what makes it so interesting. You set off not knowing, you know, how long you're going to be running for, and that's... some of the appeal for me, I think.
You sort of said that if anyone was keen to try it, then just having a go. Do you think if someone's done a marathon, say, they could just go to a backyard ultra event, obviously with the aspiration to be maybe do 50K or like, you know, beat their marathon distance by a bit and just see how far they get on? Is that like do you think that's just a nice way of getting into it?
So many people do that. So many people do backyards and hoping for a distance PB or hoping to run 100 miles. And it's the perfect environment for that. Everybody's so friendly. You'll always find someone to run with if that's what you like to do. And you've got a checkpoint every 4 miles. You don't need to worry about nav or getting lost or anything like that. It's such a well-supported event for running a distance PB, basically.
At the other end of things, Sarah, if you're trying to win one of these things, do you have to try and psych people out a bit? Do you mean, are you looking fresher than you feel? Like, oh, I could do a million of these if I had to.
Yeah, definitely. There's a little bit of that. I mean, yeah, it was interesting with Mike, one of the boxers. I know Mike, and, you know, that in a way, I don't know if that helps you or doesn't help you, because it's like, you know, they're running history, you know what they've achieved. Massive respect for Mike, but for the Welsh one, I didn't know anybody, and in a way I think that's an advantage, because you know no one's kind of watching what you're doing or seeing how you look or yeah. But I definitely think some people play my games, yeah, because someone's got to stop at the end of the day, haven't they? Someone's going to make that decision to stop, and that's going to be based on how far they think that last person has got left in them, probably.
It's time for an advert.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And now back to the podcast.
I find that a bit fascinating, the sort of the cut-off lap time and also the sort of like how many more steps can you do. And I think that like you, I mean, I don't know of it personally, but if you've, I feel like ultras, these backyard ultras, you get to the point where after 5 days of doing stuff, people are basically just trying to step one step, like it comes down to a step further than someone else before someone gives up. You know, it's like really, it's such an incredible finale to any race really when you get that sort of showdown between two people. Yeah. Is that like a big appeal for it? Just that sort of being able to just maybe go that one step further?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's always, I mean, I always try and just focus on one lap at a time. I think, and when I'm running, I'm never thinking of the bigger picture. I think that's really dangerous because, you know, like in a point to point, you're like, I'm halfway now. Oh, it's 10 more miles. You know, and you don't have that. It's very much like you against your own mind. You've got to stay in the game. You've got to stay focused.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
It is, yeah.
That ability to count down through a distance is a real sense of relief, where if it's as far as you can go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's very different. You mentioned the community side of it, and this is something that you see a lot of it from whenever people, these races are documented, and if they're ever videoed or something like this, community side of the support and how people will be there basically for the days that the people are running. And is that sort of a real draw of the scene for you as well? Just the amount of camaraderie there is and between runners and support teams and everything else like that?
Yeah, I mean, I am one of those weirdos who likes to run on their own.
But, no, I'm the same. Yeah.
If I'm honest, but you know, it's nice to do something different, and the amount of people that I chatted to and the amount of people that I made connections with at the backyards. Like, I think 130 people started, and probably talked to like a third of those people, but they were all so lovely. And I came away thinking, like, I had had a really positive experience in that sense. And actually, you know, I wouldn't really usually go to a race to chat to people. And, you know, so in that sense, it is really nice. It is a great community.
Have you got an ambition? Because I guess the classic backyard ultra is it big dogs or big backyard ultra over in the US?
Yeah.
Is that like the kind of mecca for this stuff? And would you like to test yourself at that particular
event? Yeah, so I think what people are currently talking about is trying to get on the UK team. And I think I think it's once every 2 years they have an event down in Suffolk. I think that's where the record was set. I think that's what people are currently trying to do. And I think from there you can get on the big dogs team.
That's the one, isn't it? That's the one to do.
I can say with the British record, and obviously that's a great achievement, but does that just ignite more of a fire in you to go further? Do you think that you did that and you went, I can do more?
I know. Yeah. I could. So, I guess, I'd love to. Well, what I'd love is for somebody else to come and beat that record. And, well, there's loads of really strong females in the backyard ultra scene. And then that'll give me the incentive to go back out, I think, and to break that.
What is it? Because I guess there's going to be some people listening who are thinking, running around in circles, I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of it. I understand, you know, running point to point, or understand running somewhere beautiful like the Lake District, but I don't really get the idea of like running around a field. For you, where does the appeal lie in a backyard ultra?
I think it's just so simplistic. It's like you strip away all of the unnecessary kind of, you're just focusing on running, and it's just you. Like I've said, it's you against your mind. You're going to run until you decide to stop. It's a good place to test yourself.
Do you use them for, if you're going to take on like a longer distance point to point, would this factor into your training? Would you use backyard events to be the sort of big, the bulk of mileage that you wanted to get in? Is that a way that you've trained?
I've never thought about it like that, really. No, I think backyards they're an event, you know, they're an event in themselves. And I think, although I haven't trained specifically for a backyard, I guess in a way, to answer your question, I've placed them well in terms of the other things that I'm doing. So yeah, but then you've also got that thing of, you don't know how far you're gonna run.
If anyone's listening to this and is like curious about the backyard ultras and thinks maybe I'll give it a go, or like, but is a little bit worried, what advice would you give to anyone who's thinking about sort of dipping their toe into this world?
Well, firstly, do it, because you'll love it. You'll meet loads of like-minded people. And then just think about, you know, what you need in terms of your admin. Make sure you've got everything that you need. And then just one lap at a time. Just go out and do one lap, see how you feel. And then, you know, you probably surprise yourself.
You mentioned these different laps. And I guess, like, if the format of the ultra differs from event to event, or even like a track one where people are just doing like 24 hours on track to see how far they can go, is there a format that you prefer, or are you just in it for the sort of the challenge?
Just in it for the challenge. So with the backyard, the lap always has to be 4.167 miles long,
right?
And I was thinking about this, so the Cowshed one that I did, and that was like a nice variety of like, you go through a field, go through the woods. Like, do you know there was different markers? Whereas Rasselbach is all in a forest. So it's like, you've got your compact trails, you've got your little cut throughs, but it basically all looks the same. And I think that added to the difficulty of it in a lot of ways. But I like that. I like that extra little bit of challenge. Yeah.
Would you be at all tempted, Sarah, by something like, you know, the Self-Transcendence 3,100-mile race in New York that just goes around a kind of 2 kilometre or 2 mile block in Queens? That's almost the original Backyard Ultra in some ways. Goes on all summer.
But road, though.
All road. And I think you've got to get to 3,100 miles and then you're allowed to stop.
That's mad. How many people finished that?
I think there's only about 40 who start and maybe about 20 who finish. Whoever gets there first, like that total wins. So wow. A lot of it is, and some people come back every year and it's their whole summer. But it's not that dissimilar in some ways to Backyard Ultra. It's obviously a lot longer.
I think it makes Backyard Ultra seem very tame to the next.
But I guess you've got weeks to do it. You can go home and come back.
You've got weeks. You can have a proper sleep, Ben, and then you go and do 40 miles the next day and then have a sleep. And it's pretty intense. Pretty intense. Quite a way to spend your summer, isn't it?
How do you go about choosing kit for this sort of stuff? Because as we mentioned in the laps, if you've got just hard pack forest trails that you're all set, like, you know, the shoes you're going to wear, it's not going to change. But if you've suddenly got a course that gets on the road and mud and you've got to try and juggle between these two different surfaces and then weather and all that sort of stuff, how do you manage the kit juggle?
So I kind of just took a variety of... I hadn't really looked into what the course would be like for Rasselbach. So I just took everything within kind of reasonable like limit. And, you know, even things like the temperature dropped quite a lot at night. So, you know, you're layering on clothes, layering on leggings. And I think in terms of footwear, and I'm lucky to be sponsored by Innovate, and their new trail flies were just perfect for this course. So like a lot of it was compact, but then there was some bits that were quite muddy too. So the new trail flies were perfect for that.
I mean, I've been trying them myself. They are good, yeah.
Well, hey, look, you've got the shoes now, Rick. You've got to step up to the distance, I'm afraid, mate.
I shouldn't have said that, should I? I've got the kit. So all that's holding me back is
ability.
Willpower and ability. As always, wait. So, if people want to find out more about your running, are you on Instagram? Have you got an online presence?
Yes, I'm on Instagram. That's probably the best place to follow what I do. I'm really original. It's my name. So, I think it's sarah.perry1997.
Great. All right. Well, so thanks so much for coming on the World Tour podcast and encouraging us, inspiring us to take on a Backyard Ultra. Me and Ben are going to sign up to, I don't know.
Well, I quite like this idea that you're just free to basically manage your own effort for as many laps as you can do. As you say, like a point to point, there's pressure.
Yeah.
This feels like you might just tick through those.
You could bail after a couple of laps if you want.
Mate, I'll do a 5K. Just do a lap and a tiny little bit and then I'm out.
So thanks very much for your time and best of luck with all your running going forward.
Thanks very much. Love to chat to you.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest Sarah Perry and to you, of course, for listening.
Subscribe to Runners World magazine. Head to the internet, search Runners World UK subscription, and you will find probably an incredible offer. They just keep on coming. There's just no stopping them. Unstoppable offers. That's how we like to roll Runners World. Please subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. That would be excellent. And you'll hear from us again next week.
Cool. I just hope the audio is good enough.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh.
Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.